I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hello and welcome. It's our bonus Q&A episode of Books of the Year. Pleased to say Jennifer Niven is still here in the studio. She's been here for days, but she's very understanding.
I love it.
Yeah. If you missed our earlier episode with her, we discussed her new novel, Meet the Newmans, and you can listen to that wherever you found this one. But maybe you enjoy listening to the Q&A first. So, Jennifer, first question. What was the last book that you really, really enjoyed reading?
Oh, my goodness. Unapologetic Love Story by Elle McNichol.
And explain why.
It is so funny and kind of bawdy. And Elle McNichol is a great writer. She has written a lot of young adult, but this is an adult book. And it is exactly as the title says, an unapologetic love story. And I don't want to give any spoilers, but I will say it is memorable. It is lovely. It made me feel so good in the world right now, where so much of the world does not feel good. It gave me joy. It made me think. And it touched my heart.
Can I just say, on the subject of YA and adult, I wrote one YA book a few years ago, and now I write adult fiction. And a lot of people don't read YA because they just think it's for kids. And they're missing out on a treat, because YA is some of the most cutting-edge fiction that I've ever, you know, come across. And some people struggle with the definition of the difference between the two. So you just used YA and adult in the same answer. Can you explain what you think is the difference?
I think the difference is that the young adult books, and having written a few myself, they tend to deal with issues that teens are going through, whether it's sex or mental health, bullying, depression. And I think that they're so smart. This is the thing. I think the young adult audience is one of the most discerning, brilliant audiences. They're so passionate about the books. And I feel that I know that, and this doesn't quite answer the question, but writing it and writing young adult as opposed to adult, I felt even more responsibility to write with great honesty and care, because it's a lifeline for so many young readers. But in terms of reading, I love reading young adult. I love reading adult books. And I don't think there's no difference to me in quality. I think it's just, in the care of the subject matter and the fact that the characters are teenagers.
You've referenced in this podcast, and of course in the previous episode, Jennifer, about events back home in the States. How much news do you consume, and do you find it influences your writing at all?
I try to be very careful about the news. I want to consume enough so that I know what is happening. I want to be informed. Mm-hmm. But there's so much distressing news right now in the States, and there's just so much to be heartbroken and sad about, that I have to also limit that. Because when I'm writing, I try to really immerse in that world, especially if I'm in a different time period. And It definitely influences if I'm feeling angry about something or if I'm feeling upset about something that's happening. It can definitely influence the book in a good way. I mean, I can put that emotion in there. It's an outlet, definitely.
But as you've already said, the even though the book is set in 1964, there are elements in 1964 which feel redolent now.
Absolutely.
And I wonder whether those were that, was that influenced by what you were reading, what you were watching on the news?
I think so. I think there's some helplessness that you feel or I feel right now with what's happening in the States. And I think that I put some of that helplessness into the book and some of that anger into the book. So in that way, I think it influences. I mean, there are definitely some things, you know, that women are going through. I think we've regressed some in our country and in terms of women's rights. And that's very, you know, heartbreaking and upsetting. So I put some of that into Juliet, you know, and I felt a bit like Juliet and I felt a bit like Dinah.
You can stay in the UK if you wish,
yes,
I'm sure.
I would
happy.
Absolutely love to. Yeah.
If you hadn't been such a fantastically successful author and writer, is there another career completely different that you have ever thought that you would have been good at or would have enjoyed?
Well, I think I would have loved being an archaeologist or a dancer.
Okay.
But
wow.
When
that's just quite yeah.
Or maybe an archaeologist dancer.
Wow.
But when I was, I think, like
that's a niche area. That's your next book.
Yeah. It is.
Book that combines dancing and archaeology.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant. Well, when I was 9 or 10, I decided I wanted to be an international rock star detective because that sounded like the coolest thing that you could ever be. So I still think that would be cool. I mean, to be like on stage performing, you know, for thousands of people, and then also solving mysteries at the same time internationally. I just thought that sounded the best career ever.
Okay.
I mean, how practical is that? Yeah. Why is Taylor Swift outside my house watching me coming and going? It's just,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that you too in my garden? With binoculars?
Have you ever tried to impress anyone with a book?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes. I don't know if I can name names, but I went to a book signing once and I was so proud because it was, I think my first book had come out and I was so excited and so proud. And I went to meet one of my like musical idols and I gave her the book and I'd signed it and everything. And she just looked at that book like I was handing her, I don't know, just some dirt I'd picked up on the sidewalk. And then she handed it to her assistant and was like, deal with this.
Oh, dear.
I was so heartbroken. And wow. I still can't listen to her to this day.
No, quite right.
Who are we talking about?
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Eartha Kitt.
Wow.
Okay, I can imagine that.
It was so sad. I had just bought this big box set CDs of like her entire career. And then I went home and I was like, well, what do I do with this?
Okay. Do you have a favorite place to write? And is that the same place that you like to read?
I love to write at my desk in my office, which I call my writing studio. And that's just my favorite place to write. I have a desktop. I have a giant screen so that I can, you know, see everything that I'm researching at the same time as what I'm writing. And I have literary cats. My husband and I like kind of rescue all the cats in the neighborhood. And
you have literary cats?
That's what I call them, my literary cats.
Do you name them after famous authors?
Some of them are. Some of them are. We have a Zelda for Zelda Fitzgerald. Wow. And I'm trying to think if we have any others, right? Well, we have a Scout Finch. She's named for...
How many cats do you have?
Well, my husband doesn't like me to answer this question. We have 10.
Okay.
But we do have a kind of large, rambling, old, historic house. So there is space. And two of them live in the writing studio with me. So they're my writing cats. And then a couple of them have wandered in from outside and they kind of come and go as they please. Yeah.
This is a wild place that you
live
in.
It's a wild place. But I do love to read in my writing studio. I have a beautiful porch that my husband built right off the studio. And it's glassed in, and there's a big kind of cushy, comfy chair there. And I love to just sit in the chair, hopefully with one of the cats, and cuddle up and read.
Okay. Wow. And then fall asleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite right. So when you're sat in that gorgeous place with your cats, reading your books, and you read, do you always finish a book once you've started it? Do you always muddle through, or do you say, no, I'm not bothering with this anymore?
I used to muddle through because I felt kind of obligated because I was, you know, in it. But I don't anymore because there's so much to read, and my to-be-read list is just endlessly long, like so many readers, and life's so short. So now I just, if it doesn't catch me after, you know, a few chapters, if I feel like kind of ambivalent about it, I just put it aside and pick up something else. And sometimes books, you know, they have to be at the right time. They have to find you at the right moment. Sometimes I have put books down, and then later, months later, a year, two later, I'll pick it up again, and then it's the right moment, and then I'll read it.
We always like to surprise our guests with a question from a fellow author and fan, which is why you have your headphones on. So here's a voice note from number one Sunday Times bestselling author Jenny Godfrey.
Hi, Simon and Matt, and hello, Jennifer. As you know, I'm a huge fan of Meet the Newmans, and one of the things I love about the novel is how evocative it is of a particular era of television and American family portrayal. I'd love to know who your favourite television family growing up was and which show the Newmans is most closely modelled on.
Okay, so we touched on some of that area in our first interview, but anyway, what's your answer to Jenny?
I love that. I think that my favorite TV family growing up was the Brady Bunch. For those who don't know, so the mother and the father, the mom has three daughters, they're all blonde, and the dad has three sons, they're all are brunette, and they combine their family. And Alice is their housekeeper, and, you know, shenanigans ensue. And I just loved it. I just loved the Brady Bunch. And then I think that, what was the other part of the question?
Which shows the Newmans most closely
modeled? Oh, yes. Definitely Ozzie and Harriet, because Ozzie and Harriet Nelson, as I kind of touched on, they played themselves on television, and their sons grew up, David and Ricky grew up on television, and Ricky became a pop idol like Shep. So I definitely, that was a huge influence for me. I watched a lot of Ozzie and Harriet and listened to a lot of Ricky Nelson. Luckily, I really love his music.
Yeah. So obviously All the Bright Places found itself onto the screen. Do you have a favorite screen adaptation of a book, one that stands out for you?
Oh my goodness. I think Perks of Being a Wallflower is
it's a great
adaptation. Yeah. And it holds up too. Yeah.
I need to check this, but I think I saw Ricky Nelson's last concert in the UK, which was in Harrogate at a festival. There's a whole bunch of fantastic 50s and 60s artists who were playing. And anyway, and Ricky Nelson, who was Rick Nelson then, by then.
Yes.
Because if you drop the Y, you become more serious.
Yeah, of course you do, yeah.
Exactly. And it was a way, too, to shed that TV image.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mind you, by this time he was like 60, so, you know.
Right.
I think he shed that.
That's amazing.
It's just been confirmed. Yes, it was Harrogate. 1985, and he was on a little tour with like a revival, like a rock and roll revival tour. But he
died tragically.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, so I think that was the last time that he was performing over here.
Oh,
anyway, so we took
amazing
a slight detour there. short chapters or long chapters? You use both in the book, but are you inclined towards one or the other?
Short, definitely. I think, and that came about when I was writing young adult, because I remember some of my readers saying, oh, but the chapters are so long. And I thought, really? So I think I just kind of started writing shorter chapters. And I will say now when I read as a reader, I also like shorter chapters. And I'll kind of glance through a book to see if the chapters, you know, go on and on and on, or if they're, you know, shorter. And if they're shorter, I tend to pick it up.
When you're writing, do you allow yourself a snack? And if so, what?
Oh, I do. I love popcorn. It's probably my favorite food on the planet. So I eat a lot of popcorn.
Okay.
And I love grapes, too. Those are boring, but I do love grapes.
Kind of better for you than popcorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are, yes. And they're easy to eat while you're writing. And
that sounds pretty healthy, really, because a lot of people would say, you know, you've been writing for an hour, or just going to have a couple of biscuits and a beer.
Well, no? That would be amazing, too. I can't imagine, and I'd probably write really well from that. But here's the sad thing. I have a lot of food allergies, so you know, like, oh, yay, grapes. They're exciting for me. So,
okay.
But they're so boring.
Yeah.
I wish I had more.
Can you dip them in salsa?
Sure. That's a good idea. Freeze them. Do something different.
It's a British
with
thing.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay. So finally, you're throwing a fantasy dinner party.
Mm.
You can invite three authors, living or dead. Who's coming?
Oh, my goodness. Three authors, living or dead. Does it count if you, like, write songs or...
Oh, right. Okay. We haven't had that before, but why not? Yeah.
Because...
Are they authors, Jennifer?
Well, I hope, because the
you're going to say Robert Plant,
the
aren't
main,
you?
No, the main person I would want to have there, I don't think she's actually authored anything, but she kind of authored my childhood by singing amazing songs, if that would count.
Mm.
Okay. Can I just say Frida from ABBA, though? Because I love her so much.
Yeah.
So maybe she can't come, but maybe I could have a different dinner party with her later. But for this one, I would have Shirley Jackson, who's my favorite author. And I would have probably Emily Bronte, just because I think she was fascinating.
Uh-huh.
And I would have my mom, because she's no longer here, and she was an amazing author and an even more amazing human.
How much of your mom is in Dell, who's the main female character in your book?
Dinah is...
Sorry, Becky, please. Dell being the husband, Dinah being the woman. So, yes, how much of your mom is in Dinah? She might influence Dell as well.
Yeah. Well, she might. I mean, my mom influences everything that I do, truly. There's a lot of my mom in Dinah, a lot of her spirit, her grace, her strength, her fire, her loveliness. I love to tell this story. It's very quick. But when I was in seventh grade, I had a sewing teacher because we had to take sewing. And I was terrible at it. And the sewing teacher called a parent-teacher conference with the principal. And my parents came. I was there, the principal, the teacher. And the teacher said, Jennifer has a big mouth. She has all the boys sewing for her. And she's not doing her own work. And my mom said, well, we are not a sewing people. We don't sew. And I think that's very industrious, because David Thompson, who is one of those boys, his mother has a sewing machine and David knows how to sew. So I think that's actually very resourceful of Jennifer. So my mom always had my back, and she did it in such a lovely, but, you know.
How did that go down?
Well, the teacher was flummoxed, and the principal didn't know what was happening. My dad was so grumpy about having to leave work. And they just were like, okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Keep giving them to the bloke with
exactly.
the machine.
Exactly.
Jennifer, thank you very much indeed for spending some time with us. Do you know what you're doing next?
In terms of writing?
Yep.
Not
going for lunch. No, I'm not. Do you know what you're writing?
I immediately thought of lunch. I do. I actually recently came up with a new idea, which I've sold and I'm starting on. And it's set in 1980, and it's set in the world of Pan Am.
Pan Am and some dancing archaeologists
with ABBA
playing some of their 80s hits.
Absolutely no Eartha Kitt. No one near. No, she's not in there.
Meet the Newmans is new from Jennifer Niven, published by Macmillan. It's out now. Jennifer, thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful.
That's all for this week. I hope you can join us again for more book chat and recommendations next week. Until then, thank you very much and goodbye.